5 days after a stampede near Mecca left hundreds of Muslim pilgrims dead, officials in Saudi Arabia are still struggling to identify many of them. They're working with diplomats from countries whose citizens are among the missing, but some of those diplomats have complained that it's taking too long. We're going to focus now on just one of the 769 people who lost their lives, a victim whose identity is known. Hajja Bilikisu Yusuf was from Nigeria. She was beloved there and beyond. Yusuf was a newspaper editor and a prominent women's rights activist who inspired a generation of young Nigerian women, especially in the country's largely Muslim north.
She was like a role model of sorts. She was part of this movement that really captured my imagination.
That's Aisha Yola. Like Yusuf, she's also a Muslim from Nigeria's north. And she says she's a newspaper columnist today, in part because of Yusuf's example.
She was an editor in a profession that even in the south, where you have the so-called more liberal atmosphere, you don't have women that much in editorial positions. She had a way of convincing people, which I looked up to very much as a young woman. This idea that all human beings are equal and we deserve equal opportunities, equal respect, you know, that everyone is deserving of that fundamental respect that allows us to access opportunities and be able to achieve our potentials. I think she treated everybody like that, even those with whom she disagreed. And so you were compelled to listen to her. It's a question of being able to define yourself without being being boxed into any stereotype that is easily set aside or pushed aside. She broke barriers across social and religious boundaries.
Nigerian journalist Aisha Yola there. Darren Q of the University of Massachusetts Boston also knew Yusuf.
Hajja Bilikisu had this soft, almost demure manner of interacting with people. But as soon as she started talking, you realized you were in the presence of a really powerful person who could really move people and make them see a way forward when none was apparent.
Right. So she becomes this leader in a sexist society. Not only that, but she's a Muslim woman working within a power structure in Nigeria, which is often dominated by Christians. How was she able to do that?
She was one of the founders in the early 1980s of the first women's organization in Nigeria called Women in Nigeria, which stood for such so-called radical ideas as women's equality at the time in Nigeria, and really helping to break open doors, and then became leader of the Federation of Muslim Women's Associations in Nigeria. And that association really helped, I think, open the doors for women's political mobilization in northern Nigeria.
We've heard so much about the Middle Belt in Nigeria, the Muslims in the north, the Christians in the south, like oil and vinegar, they just don't mix. What was her role in kind of breaking that?
She played, I think, a really important role in trying to get the high-level leadership. These are Muslim emirs in the north, the Sultan of Sokoto, talking with the president of the Christian Association of Nigeria, archbishops in southern Nigeria as well, and playing that sort of bridging role, which I think is part of her strong suit, was being able to get two different groups to really understand each other. She was very, very deeply religious, and she felt that Islam demanded that people try to reach across these religious divides and to build bridges between Muslims and Christians.
So we should point out that more recently, Yusuf advocated on behalf of the missing girls from Chibok in northern Nigeria, the teens kidnapped by Boko Haram in 2014. When people describe her work on that campaign, dogged is what they say. What were the odds she was facing?
The Chibok girls in particular were kidnapped during a period where the Jonathan administration, the then government in Nigeria, I think had great antipathy in actually going to try to find and to liberate the girls. And so she was facing a real uphill battle, both in terms of just trying to get public attention to the matter, but second, having a government which was perhaps almost hostile to trying to see something decisive done.
There's one great quote about her from one of her friends who described Hajja Bilikisu as, quote, a woman who could decline to shake a man's hand without offending him. Explain that, Darren.
particularly in devout circles in northern Nigeria, in the Muslim part of the country, men will refuse to shake women's hands, or women will refuse to shake men's hands. And I know foreigners in particular would often be sort of put off by the fact that a man or a woman would refuse to shake their hand. And Hajja Bila Kisu had a way of doing it that you still felt deeply respected. She would sort of nod her head and almost bow to you in a way that said, you know, I'm very grateful that you want to shake my hand, but it's just not something that my religion allows.
A diplomatic activist, a very sad loss. Darren Kew, Executive Director of the Center for Peace, Democracy, and Development at UMass Boston. Thanks very much for telling us about Hajja Bila Kisu Yusuf.
Thanks so much.